Those in junior church may be dismissed. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, worship team. It's good to see each of you here today, and would ask that you would turn to Psalms 8, Psalm the 8th chapter. That's where we'll be this morning for just a moment. This is a topical sermon, so we're going to be moving around quite a bit. That will be the case the next week as well. Bringing a topical message next week, and so we're not parked in a book again for a little bit, probably not after until late January. We've got just some other things that we'll address up to that point. Do ask for your prayers this week. We'll be doing a funeral on Tuesday. Pray that God might mightily work on behalf of the DeRocher family and into their lives and others that will be coming. Also, we've got a ministry conference here this weekend. And for both of those, we need prayer. We need prayer. We need people to then put their feet to prayers. There's needs there, and you will note those sheets that if you want to be a part of that meal ministry there, extending the love of Christ, you can do so. Those are on the back table. Welcome Justin Barr, his son and his wife here today. They are here for visiting the family, so haven't been here in a while, and from out of state, we welcome them and each of you. And as I look out, I'm just reminded of God's work in the lives of those that attend here, and we give God praise for that. All right, so, you know, there's a lot of things going on. You heard that, right? There were people up here, up here, up here. A lot of things going on. We need your prayers. We need God to minister powerfully, which we believe he will do. Yeah, but, you know, we need help, you know, we need to see God move in all these areas and many more. We're thrilled with what God's doing, different individuals stepping up into different places and serving him. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that's ours now. We thank you that we've been able to express with our voices and our hearts our adoration of you. We would ask that you would move powerfully in the lives of each that are here today, myself as well. We recognize that you know everything about us. You know our struggles. You know where we're at now. You know our joys. You know the difficulties that we face that have passed through your hands where you've said it's okay. I'm going to take them through that. You know all those things. You know those that are here today that are they're tired, they're worn out, those that are struggling perhaps with their faith or in different areas, maybe it's with relationships, whatever that might be. And Father, you know the challenges that come to our hearts, and you know that we as sheep are prone to wander. We get very agitated. We are fearful at times. You see all that. You've made a way in your word that we might understand who we are, who you are. And for that, we're grateful. And I would ask, Father, that for each of us, that you would just meet us where we're at, that your Spirit would find our hearts in tune with you and willing to submit to where you would take us. I pray for your help as I proclaim and the listener as they hear and for both of us as we respond. And for that to happen, Father, I pray that you would find us just yielded to what you would say to us now. We're thankful for the fellowship here, Father, for this ministry. Thankful for the love of the saints and for the sense of excitement about what you're doing and what you will do. Now move, we pray. May your Spirit lead in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today I'm going to talk to you about something that's timeless and something that we deal with daily, something that is out there, and we will deal with it, and I think we'll struggle with it to some sense until the Lord calls us home. The human heart is a fragile thing. Our minds can center on the challenges of life and the concerns and how we deal with them, and how we deal with them will impact certainly our joy. We can worry ourselves sick. That is true. We can become so upset with what we're facing that it impacts our health. If we fret our day away, it's an absolute waste of time. We're doing ourselves no favor. We're not living the abundant life as Christ has called us and has given us the opportunity to do. We really have no business to get worked up about something and stay there. We really don't. one's worry or lack of it is directly impacted by who it is that's carrying the burden, the load. If it's me, I can become overwhelmed by it, by that burden, and it can cause great distress in my life. But if I can give that to someone, if I can give that to God and surrender to His ability, there's a freedom there for me to walk. There's a joy that can be mine. And I want to say to you today that we can walk in freedom and joy to the degree that we confidently surrender to Him. I believe there are acceptable sins within our lives, and not before God. Acceptable sins in our lives as we would see it. And there's some common things. This particular one, worry, I believe is an acceptable sin. I've battled it with it in my own heart. I continue to do so on and off. And I often see it in the lives of you guys. That is true. It's something that is a constant, as I've said, but we are missing out on, I believe, great joy and happiness when those concerns consume us and we neglect to turn those over to God. It's not wrong to be concerned about things. You'll see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was concerned about the cup. He prayed, He gave it over to the Father, and He went forward. That's the process. There's a clear path in Scripture for us. That's the good news this morning. There's a clear path in Scripture that God has laid out that we can take. And if you desire to get past worry, there are some things that can be done, some action that can be taken. There are three things that I'm going to challenge you with today, and it's by way of reminder that can make all the difference in the world. The first one of those I want to say to you today is, in the middle of all those challenges, those concerns, you would do well to remind yourself of the power of God. I've asked you to turn to Psalm, the 8th chapter. It says there, O Lord, our Lord, verse 1, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants, nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Listen, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you take care of him? Psalmist has looked up. He's gone outside and he's looked into the heavens when it's dark, and he has seen the stars. And it reminds him of something, of the power of God. And when he thinks of that, he's kind of blown away. You see it in verse 4. What is man that you take thought of him? Have you ever just gone out and looked at the stars and noticed how vast and huge this place is? And that someone is in charge of all this. Someone is rotating the earth. Someone's keeping it where it needs to be, caring for his children and so forth. But you look up and you think, God is majestic. He's powerful. He's awesome. I was talking to an individual in the past little while, and they had in their mind that they were going to go do some exercise, something that some of us older don't think so much about these days, right? Matter of fact, they were going to go on a run. And if I ever do something like that, it's never a run anymore. It's a jog. They were going to go do a run, and they have the ability to do that. And they went outside, and it was night, and they were stretching their muscles, preparing themselves for a run. So they were on a basketball court and laid down. They were stretching out, and they looked up. This person looked up and just sat back in awe. And as I was talking to them, they said, I never did go on that run. I just sat back there and looked and considered the stars. That reminded that person of the power of God. And it makes, when you think of this, it kind of brings other things into proper perspective. But I would challenge you just to remind yourself of the power of God. The psalmist says, you know, that is amazing to me. And then he says, verse 4, what's man that you take thought of him, the son of man that you care for him? Here we are. These little, for a moment in time, we're here on earth. And in the earth, compared to everything else, is just a speck. And we are in that somewhere. And God considers us. And that ought to cause our hearts to rejoice. I would ask you, here's Psalms, and we're going to move around, but this is easy. Go one book to the left, to Job. There's a lot of places we could go when we consider the power of God, and we want to remind ourselves of that. Here's a couple I've given you. You can go to Isaiah 40, great chapter. Job 38. And I'll just mention a couple things here. The book of Job, you know what it's about. Here's a man. There's this scene in heaven that he knows nothing about. But here's a righteous man considered at that time the most upright on earth. And tragedy comes into his life as we would view it. And he's struggling. Because Job's been serving God. He's an upright guy. And man, tragedy has come. And so for 37 chapters, there's this. Job has some friends, three of them to begin with. And they did great until they started to speak into his life and do so well. A younger man comes along later, and he does better. But Job, in all this, he's struggling. How can a righteous God allow something like this? And God has been silent. And then in the 38th chapter, God speaks to Job. Matter of fact, he kind of puts him, he gives him a quiz, a test. And I just want you to know that what God is doing now with Job, he's not going to answer the question about why God has allowed this to happen in his life. Doesn't even touch it. But what he does is he just displays himself to Job as an awesome, powerful God. He wants him to see him in that sense. Look at here in Job 38. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 6 with me. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now gird up your loins like a man. I will ask you and you instruct me. He's saying, Job, all right, let's go to it. Put your pants on, your man pants, your big boy pants on, and I'm going to speak to you, okay? And then he starts to asking things. Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Verse 4. Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched out the line on it? What were its bases sunk, and who laid its cornerstone? He says, Job, I want you to think about creation for a moment. Where were you? Where were you? I was there. Where were you? And then he goes further here. Look at verse 8. Who enclosed the sea with its doors and bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt on its doors. Job, when I created this world and I laid out what it would be, just want you to know, where were you? What part, what input did you have when I said the sea's going to come to this place and that's it? And, you know, if you're Job, you're pretty blown away by just this few thoughts that God has begun to lay out. You're feeling pretty insignificant, right? And it's not that Job is insignificant. It's that his God is bigger than anything. Look at verse 12. I love this question. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning and caused the dawn to know its place? Job, do you have the power to turn the earth at a precise time and say to the sun and to the dawn, come forth? I don't have that power. Neither do you, right? So if you're Job, you're pretty blown away by this. A couple more. Verse 34, can you lift up your voice to the clouds so that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send forth lightnings that they may go and say to you, here we are? Job, can you make it rain Can you make a thunderstorm come? See, God is reminding Job and you and I of His great power. You know, when difficult things come, when our hearts are all in a knot, our stomachs are upset, and we've got something before us that in our minds is big. And I don't say it's not. We need in those moments in time to consider God's creative power. We need to consider God's power in bringing about all these things. He's a big God, capable of everything. Matthew 26. Turn there. Now, you're going to the right on this one, right? You know, first book of the New Testament. You can. I said 26, Matthew 6. 26 won't work on this. Matthew 6 will. This is our Lord. He's preaching. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking in the outdoors. He has people before him. He's talking about worry. He's talking about anxiety. Let's pick it up in verse 25. Matthew 6, 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Then he says this. I love this because get the setting. And it never struck me till this week. I thought, here's our Lord speaking these wonderful truths. The disciples and others that would have been there. He's on the side of a mountain. And if you're outside, if we were to go outside today, you know what you would hear? You would hear birds. You know what you'd see? You would see birds. So Jesus takes that opportunity. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? I want to say to you, I want you to remind yourself of the power of God. Go outside, look at the stars, consider God's creative power. Consider the birds. I've come to the point where I understand something. Anything I own, I have to care for. I have to keep it up. If I purchase something, something's given to me or I acquire something, I have to perform some maintenance on that. Doesn't matter how new or old it is. It still has to be maintained. Listen, on the third day of creation, God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them. There's a harvest every fall. There's fruit trees that produce. This has been going on since creation. Because God said that's the way it will be. Furthermore, God said on the fifth day, the scripture says God created sea monsters and everything living, every living creature that moves with which the water swarmed after their kind, every winged bird. God created the birds on the fifth day. If you go outside this afternoon, you know what you will hear and what you will see. You'll see birds. This week, I saw crows, saw ravens, I saw starlings, blackbirds. I saw a bluebird on our mailbox. I don't know why he was there, but I saw him. Male cardinal, robins, partridge, geese, sandhill cranes, mallard ducks, sparrows, hawks, eagles. Guess who's caring for those birds? Guess who has cared for those birds since creation? God has. Jesus said, consider the birds. You think about worry, anxiety. You think about what are you going to eat, what are you going to wear? How am I going to be able to retire in this economy? What about next month's bills? What about this person, this relationship? What about all these challenges? I can worry myself to death. The Lord says, consider the birds. Just an object lesson. Consider the birds. Look at them. And then he says, listen, in terms of value, the last part of verse 26. Are you not much worth much more than they? And the answer is what? Yes. How do we know that? Well, we know because God's interaction with us. We know it because of His Word. We know that we're worth much more because of what He has done in the giving of His Son for sinners. Yeah, we're worth much more than them. It was interesting to me. I think this was Tuesday morning. I was at the office early, and I was studying. I told Becky later on that day, I think it was Tuesday, maybe it was Monday, I don't know. I said, I had a great morning with the Lord, great morning to study. It was just neat. Well, I have at times, what I'll do is I have a list of individuals that I like to encourage in the Word, and I'll send them a verse with a text message with a verse with sometimes just a thought attached to it. I had spoken with a friend that I hadn't talked to in a long time the previous week, and I thought, you know, I'll include his name in this verse that I'm going to send today. And I sent out this verse, just like this. It's, you know, I've known this verse for a long time. But God really spoke. I'm going to send this verse out. And I sent it out. Different individuals encouraged them in the Lord. And what I did was at the end of this verse, I just made a little comment. I said, the first bird you see today should remind you that your Heavenly Father's committed to caring for you. And different individuals respond back, thanks or whatever, praise the Lord, God's blessing. But I got a note from him. And I have to tell you, I don't know, have a clue what's going on in his life. But he said this, you have no idea what I've gone through these last couple days. He said, you must be having coffee with Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Spirit. And I wasn't. I was having tea. And I don't even know if our Lord drinks tea. But you know what he's saying. Thanks for listening to the Spirit because of the timing. The timing was perfect. I'll explain later. I don't know what the explanation is. I haven't heard. It doesn't matter. We remind ourselves of the power of God. We also remind ourselves what He said and what He's done. This individual, believer, was reminded that God cares for me. He's committed. He's faithful to that. When you think of that, he says, you're much more of much more value or worth much more than they. Think about this. He has loved you with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. God says to His people, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you before you were you, as we would think of it. Before you came into being, He's loved you. He's known all about you. He's seen your whole life. He's loved you to the extent that none of us can really grasp it. I don't quite get how God could love me enough, a sinner as I am, to save me, to give His Son, and then to continue that grace in my life to work, to help me through the difficulties of life. I don't get all that. But I'm glad that He does, and that He does work in such a way. He's loved you with an everlasting love. And no one has demonstrated that deeper. Any relationship you have, however deep that love may be, it doesn't even come close to the Father's love to you and I. He knows you. He knows you intimately. He knows things about you no one else knows. And yet, He loves you and He cares for you. And I want you to know, here's something else. Your worries are an opportunity from the hand of God to trust Him. They really are. He wants to grow you through those challenges. And I'll say to you, you know, there's very little growth, I think, in the Christian life without difficulty, without trial, without hardships. So why don't you remind yourself, you know, when that next thing comes, or that next thing that you're focused on right now that's just causing you great grief, I want to remind you of something, that your Heavenly Father, His power knows no limitations. He can deal with it. Secondly, here's something that's very important. Remind yourself of the presence of God. Remind yourself that He is there. Numerous situations you'll see in the Scripture, and My time's going to get away from me, so I'll just mention them. When Moses was called to lead a captive people out of the land of Egypt, away from Pharaoh, Moses had nothing. He didn't have an army. As far as we would think about, he had nothing. He didn't have an army. He didn't have any political clout or power. God called him, though. And because God called him, he was going to make a way. And when Moses was objecting, as we all would have, right? Who wants to take that responsibility? Go stand before Pharaoh, tell him to let my people go. Who are you? Who do you think you are? I know Moses was thinking all those things, and God did everything. He laid it all out, and then he comforted him with this thought. Moses, I want you to know, I will be with you. You're not going alone. I will be with you. When Joshua took those same people, at the end of Moses' life, he was an understudy of Moses. When he took those same people, he was called to go into the promised land and take that land. God called him to attention to the word. And then he said to him, Joshua 9, he reminded him again, I will be with you. The writer of Psalm 46. I'll just read a couple verses to you there. I have to read these to you. I'm not going to give you I'm not going to give you kind of what he said. Wrap it up that way. I'm going to give you the word here. Psalm 46. Don't know what's happened here. This person's world is turned upside down. He begins with this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. The last verse in that psalm. By the way, great psalm to encourage you whenever you're facing something difficult. Real opportunity for the Spirit of God to minister your heart here. He begins with the thought, God's with you. He goes through everything. The world's turned upside down. But he finishes this way: the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. He reminds himself and others the presence of God. I read that often to individuals facing surgery, facing a death in a family, whatever it is. I want to remind them that God is with us. When Jesus commissioned, if you're in Matthew, some of you turned back to Psalm 46, I realize that, but the Great Commission, sending out the apostles, disciples of our Lord, he reminds them in Matthew 28, verse 20, he told them, listen, all power and authority has been given unto me, therefore you go. I'm the resurrection Christ. I've conquered death and hell. You go. And then he says, go and make disciples of all nations, verse 19. Then he says this in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you. Always. You realize this, there's never a time when a believer is really alone. Never. Never. Our Lord is with us. What difference ought that to make? Every difference in the world. Think about it. And I think this is an aspect of the Christian life that we don't fully grasp. I'm not sure that I do. But if our Lord stood right next to me the whole day, in everything I did, I could see him and I knew he was there. What difference would that make in how I face every task of the day? When I think about how maybe someone said something, got under my skin, what difference would that make with the Lord there? When I thought about where I knew I needed to do something that God has called me to and I may be a little hesitant on it, but I knew what God wanted me to do, and I'm back and forth. What difference would that make if our Lord was there? You see what I'm saying? It should impact us in every way. Finally, remind yourself of the presence of the Lord. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 speak to that as well. It should be a confident assertion of our life because of that. Let me finish here with these thoughts of reminding yourself of the promises of God. And there's just two texts that I want to go to here. I want to begin in Philippians 4. And you folks have heard this before, haven't you? You know where I'm going to go. But you know what? You need me to go here. You need me to remind you of these truths. Philippians 4, verse 4. Let's begin there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. What a great reminder. All right, here it is, folks. Here's how you deal with it. Challenges, troubles, worry, anxiety, the grief that's in your heart, the things that you face and you're all uptight about. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't be anxious. But here it is. Instead, pray. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And a great promise. The peace of God will surpass all comprehension, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious, but instead pray. There's great promise. The peace of God will come. We are to pray with thanksgiving, no matter what comes. How can we be thankful? Well, we can be thankful because we recognize that our great, awesome, and all-powerful God is in control. Now, He may have allowed something to come into our lives that breaks our hearts, that causes deep concern. We may be fretting about something, but we ultimately can say, God, I know You've allowed this, and You are good, and I'm going to trust You. I'm going to humble myself before You. There's going to be this confident surrender, and I'm going to give it over to Him. You've had a situation where, I know each of you had, where you've had something that you're not quite sure how to deal with. And boy, if there was someone that knew, take a vehicle for instance, maybe there's something going on in the engine and you don't know what to do with that vehicle. You maybe have thought about how you can fix that, you just can't. You're going to take that vehicle into a mechanic, a dealer, someone that knows how to deal with it. And you know, that's a great feeling, isn't it? At least I hope it is for you. When you finally get there and you say, here's the problem. And you know you've given it to the hands of someone that can fix it. I'll pick it up tomorrow. And they say, it'll be ready. I know what it needs. That's a great feeling. Do you realize that God is saying to you and I, listen, I want to take your burden. I want to take that which worries you. Listen, don't worry. Give it to me. Do so with thanksgiving. I really thought, you know, and I know my thoughts sometimes, I get a little crazy and I have to rein myself in. But I really thought, how could we do this morning? And I thought, you know what, just a thought, I'm not going to do this to you, okay? I thought, we're going to have everyone write them out. Write them out. And we'll put them in something. That'll represent giving them to God. And we're going to walk away from that saying, that's nice. He can handle it. Aren't you glad that I didn't go forward with that? I'm not going to do that. But I want to do something just like it in our own minds, in our own hearts. I want us to go there. And I want us to say, God, You're big enough. And You've said, instead of worry, pray. And I'm going to do that right now. The last text, and we're going to do that in just a minute. Right where you're at. In the quietness of our hearts, we're going to put this scripture to work right now. 1 Peter chapter 5, a very common scripture, again, that's very meaningful and helpful to us. First Peter 5, 6, and 7, listen to it now. Therefore, there's an issue of pride here, folks. I want to say that to you and to me. When we carry these burdens, we're saying we can handle it, we can fix it. Peter says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in proper time. Does this connect with verse 6? Yeah, it's the same sentence. We're to humble ourselves, casting all, verse 7, casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Consider the birds. Are you not much more valuable than they? Because He cares for you. We're not meant to carry a lot of these things that we're carrying. And the picture here is the casting of a net over something. We're given these things to the Lord. He's covering them. Cast your care on Him because He cares for you. Don't worry. Be thankful. Cast that care. Confidently leave it with Him. You know, sometimes we say, we can do this. We can get through it. I can handle this. And we'll go down that road. And finally, we'll get to the end of it. And we'll say, God, I'm going to give it over to You. I'll tell you what. I'm learning more all the time. Something I'm learning is to give it quicker and quicker and quicker, and I don't have to carry that burden. Sometimes there'll be an individual that'll come to me and they'll pour something out. They say, Pastor, I'm sorry to burden you with that. And you know, I'm thinking, you're not burdening me with that. Because guess what I'm going to do with that? You gave it to me, I'm going to pass it on to somebody that can really handle it. In the quietness of our hearts, I want you guys to bow your heads. And as you do that, I want you to consider the things that are most challenging right now. And I'm going to ask you to do what God has asked you to do. To give that care to Him. Let's do that right now.